Hi, this is Annie Sorrell, and this is week one of our self-care program, and it's the 2nd of November 2020, which is a rather fabulous sort of date, because when you reduce the November, the 1 plus 1 becomes 2, so it's the second day of the second month, 2020. So all those twos, and two is very much about connection and peace. Connection, wanting sort of harmonious connection, wanting cooperation and understanding. And this is very much what self-care is about, creating a harmonious connection with yourself. And when you add those numbers together, they come to 8, and 8 is the number of empowerment. So this seems like a perfect date, and you know, I love the way this happens. I just randomly suddenly decided I wanted to do this program, and I didn't want 6 weeks, I wanted 8 weeks, which just squeaks in before Christmas. And so here we are on this date, starting this program with a date that the day today is all about empowerment through connection and cooperation and harmony. So I'm really hoping that that is going to be part of the flavour of this program for you, and everything else, and anything else, of course, that you would like it to be. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited about doing this program. It seems this is a time when people are being stretched in so many ways, and especially this last month seems to have been really, really intense. And I've just been feeling a strong urge to do some more, that I can find more ways of supporting people that are affordable. And so thank you so much for deciding to come and play with me. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Everyone hopefully received an email from me when you registered. If you registered using my booking system, you will have got the details for this call automatically. And then I also sent out another email to everyone inviting you to join the private Facebook group, and with a couple of preparation questions for the call today. So about the Facebook group, there may be some of you that don't like to use Facebook. Some of you may not be on Facebook. I haven't been using it myself for some months. But for something like this, it can be really beneficial. A private group means, I've called it self-care program, a private group means that anyone who's not invited, if they do a search on Facebook to see if there's a group called self-care program, they're not going to find it. It will be as though it doesn't exist. So that's how completely your privacy is protected. The only thing is, it means it's a bit cack-handed to have people join the group. I can't invite you unless you're, first of all, my friend. So you need to befriend me, Annie Sorrell, and then once I've accepted your friend request, then I can invite you to join the private Facebook group. And this can be really valuable to be part of a community. And what you've enrolled for is not something that's particularly mainstream. It's not something that the majority of the population would put their hands up for, a self-care program. So when you're interested in doing something like this that's a bit different to everyone else, it can be so beneficial to mix with like-minded people. When we hear someone else saying, oh yes, I'm struggling with that too, or this is what I found helped me, it can just make such a difference, because we can really feel very on our own. And when we feel on our own, then that's when our mind can come in and start making mischief and say, you know, what's wrong with you, and why are you doing this when no one else is, or whatever. So just thinking about that, and of course, you know, I totally respect your choice if you decide not to join the the group, and I will make sure that you receive as much of the information as I can via email that might be relevant that gets posted in the group. So that's about the Facebook group. Another thing I want to say, so after this call I'll be sending out the links to the recordings from the call, and then sometime through the week I'll send out some preparatory questions for the next call. If you can set aside the time, even just 10 minutes to prepare, it will make the call that much more beneficial for you, because the calls can be sort of an intellectual exercise where you listen to theory, or they can be much more experiential, and that means much more whole bodied, much more embodied. Your learning will be much more real than just thoughts. And so tuning in and considering those questions a bit before the call can really help you to get the most out of it. So you'll probably be getting two emails a week then, one with the recordings and then another one that's preparation. Now, I meant to say you can mute yourselves, and I suggest you do stay muted unless you're actually wanting to contribute or participate. It just minimises background noise in that way. So it's star 6 to mute yourself and star 6 to unmute yourself. If you are wanting to participate in some way during the call, you're free to please unmute yourself and ask a question or contribute. Or if you are a bit... And if you don't want to do that, you can text me. So I've got my phone here, and my text is my number is 0401 977 645. So you can text me questions or comments. And that's the other thing. If through the week you would like to send me any emails in preparation for the next call that I can answer on the next call, then please feel free to do that. It really helps me, because then I can know that what I'm saying is relevant to what's happening for you people. And, the question only needs to be loosely associated with self-care, and almost anything is associated with self-care. So, if there's something going on in your life and you're wondering how some of the principles that we're exploring in these calls might be relevant to you, then feel free to email me with a little bit of information, and you can be quite sure that a question for one of you will be a question that that will benefit many. Well, let me see, is there anything else that I wanted to say there? I think those are my main housekeeping things. I'm going to go for an hour. If I need to go over time, I will. So if you need to leave any time during the call or within the, once the hour's up, don't feel bad about it, that's fine. And you can just listen to the end on the recording. Because it's a little bit hard to estimate the time when, I'm opening it for it to be interactive as well.
Hi Annie, it's Kartika, I've just joined.
Hi Kartika, welcome.
Thank you.
So you can mute yourself by pressing star 6 and unmute yourself again by pressing star 6.
So thank you.
Before we've just been doing a bit of housekeeping, so you've timed it well. Before we get started, does anyone have any questions out of what I was saying then? No? Okay. It seems as though we're good. Excellent. So let's just start by getting present, by being here. So you might like to just gently close your eyes and start taking notice of your breathing. And I'd like you to just, as you're inhaling, imagine that you're inhaling calm and relaxation. And as you exhale, that you're letting go of anything that's ready to leave. So inhaling peace. And exhaling whatever's ready to go. Just allowing your whole system to slow down now that you're on the call. Nothing for you to do for the next little while. Just be present. Now, I'd like to just take you on a little guided journey for a minute. And I'd like to you to imagine that there is someone in your life who is really kind and gentle. They really understand you. They're respectful towards you. They appreciate you for who you are, for your uniqueness, your individuality. Imagine that this person is thoughtful and considerate. They really listen to you and they acknowledge your needs and wants. You feel really supported by this person. And you know they have your back. They help you to make decisions. This person helps you to say no and set clear boundaries when necessary. This person really values you. This person knows your fears and your doubts, knows your passions and your longings. Knows your whole history and is open to all possibilities for you, for your highest and best. Just imagine what it would feel like to have someone like that in your life who really knows you, really gets you, and really loves you unconditionally. And just notice what's happening in your body as you're imagining having that person in your life. Imagine that that person is always with you, always there. And And of course, just letting yourself feel that. Noticing any thoughts that come up about it. Noticing physical sensations in your body. Notice any feelings, emotions. And of course, there's no one better qualified to play that role. There's no one else that can play that role, be that person in your life. No one knows you better than you know yourself. And so that is the invitation to be that person for yourself, to support yourself, have your back, appreciate you, be kind and gentle with you. That is the invitation that we are exploring in this program. And just taking a deep breath or two before you open your eyes, just slowly come back out. And if you've got pen and paper with you, which I'd encourage you to do with these calls, jot down any thoughts that arose about that, any little awarenesses that you might have had, any resistances. Just noting your response to the idea of being your best friend and your own answer, your answer to yourself. Okay, so that gives you a little introduction to what I'm talking about when I talk about self-care. Because the truth of it is that we are, as adults, responsible for ourselves, for our thoughts, our feelings, for our body, for our intuition. We are responsible for our whole well-being. And of course, that isn't how we started out in life. We started out with parents being responsible for us. And gradually, as we got older, them letting that responsibility go into our hands. And by the time we're adults, we're expected to take responsibility for ourselves. But there's a part of us that remembers when someone else played that role for us. And sometimes when we go into romantic relationships, we can, without necessarily realise it, be looking for our partner to play the role that our parent used to play, for our partner to keep us safe, for our partner to make us feel loved and to acknowledge and appreciate ourselves. And it's wonderful if that happens consistently and in the way that we want it. But it's a pretty big ask to put on someone else's shoulders. And so the more that we can take responsibility for ourselves, the more whole and complete we can be. And we can be whole and complete in a relationship with another or on our own. We can be whole and complete in our work environment, in our family situations, in recreational situations, because it is our job to take care of ourselves and to meet our own needs. And no one else can understand or know as well as we can what those needs might be, what our wants might be at anyone else's at any given time. And so the better the relationship that we the better the relationship that we have with ourselves, the better we'll be able to meet our needs. And there's a ripple effect from that. If we can meet our needs rather than feeling frustrated, deprived, unappreciated, let down, ignored, overlooked, ambushed, all sorts of things. If we can take care of ourselves, then we're setting the example to others to take care of themselves by being complete and whole in and of ourselves. We can then be available to support others who can't take responsibility for themselves. And we can go into the world from a much more confident and fulfilled place rather than from a place of neediness and emptiness and hope or hopelessness that someone else will take care of us and solve our problems for us. And so as we learn to take care of ourselves and value and respect ourselves, so we can start to feel more self-sufficient, more self-contained, and therefore safer in the world, as well as a whole lot of other benefits. When we choose to take care of ourselves, and it does need to be a choice, and it can feel like a big shift, but when we do choose to take care of ourselves, and that's not something we're going to master in a week or 8 weeks, it's an ongoing process, but once we set that intention and start to take action and keep returning to that intention, then our lives can change. And the sorts of things that we're going to explore in these 8 weeks, the sorts of benefits that we can expect from self-care, the changes that it can make in our lives, some of the topics that we're going to be looking at are about how to be loving and kind and supportive of ourselves, how to be more authentic, how it can bring greater happiness and calm and contentment, how self-care can help with decision-making, with having greater clarity of intuition, with setting boundaries, help us to trust ourselves and trust in life, help to feel good about yourself, help with managing time, which is so often an issue for so many people these days. So, and I'm sure you can think of plenty of other benefits to taking care of yourself as you start to explore this concept more fully. So as I say, it starts with the choice, and I'm hoping that over these 8 weeks because we'll be revisiting this topic every week, that will help you to start to get a practice in place to carry on with into the future. So when we talk about taking care of yourself, I'm talking, as I said a minute ago, about taking care of yourself across the whole spectrum of being human, mentally, emotionally, physically and spiritually. So thinking first up about taking care of our body, because much as whether we love it or hate it, this is the body that we have been given for this life on this earth. And if we don't have this body, we don't have this physical experience. And we can get cranky with it because it hurts, because it doesn't look the way we want it to look, because it doesn't have the weight we want it to weigh. But really, it does us a very good job in spite of those judgments and criticisms. And building a better relationship with it can be really healthy and healing. Learning to care for yourself and your emotions can be hugely beneficial. Our emotions can feel great, and some of them can feel not so good at all. So learning how to care for yourself emotionally. Our health, our thinking can be really, really helpful, or it can be really undermining and sabotaging. So we're going to be exploring managing our thinking. And also our intuition. As we develop a better relationship with ourselves, we all have intuition, whether we know it or not. And you might think of it as your gut instinct or your wise inner knowing, excuse me, or your wise self, whatever you call it. There is that part of us that sometimes just knows. And as we develop our relationship with ourselves, so that intuition can get much clearer. And the other thing that I wanted to say about self-care is that the way in the Western world, anyway, that we've come to live is a little bit like a child in an amusement park. We're very focused on what's happening around us. We're very aware of what's happening in the external world. We wake up in the morning and we see what the weather is, and we put the radio on or podcast on, or we have conversations with people, travel to work, possibly focusing on the traffic and what we drive past. And then we're addressing the expectations that are involved in the work that we do, the expectations and the roles that we play with our family. So we're looking outside all the time, or a lot of the time. And our society has come to teach us that, or we have often learnt from our society, that if we're not feeling good, if our life isn't working the way we want it to, then something in our external world is the problem. Something in our external world has to change. So if we're feeling stressed out, we need to go on a holiday. If we're not enjoying our work, we need to get a different job. If there's a problem in a relationship with someone, then we end the relationship. And this puts us in a situation that can, in and of itself, trigger so much anxiety. Because what it means is that we have to try and control our world. And we get caught in that trap if only I can have the right job, the right house, the right friends, the right family, the right partner, the right amount of money, the right health. then I'll be happy. And that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of expectation. And it often doesn't work. What it does is leave us in this state of perpetual wanting, noticing what we don't have, what's not working, not leaving very much room for appreciation and gratitude. And so what we're subconsciously doing when we get caught in this is, I won't be happy until I have. I can't be happy without this relationship, job, car, whatever. So there's all these conditions on our happiness, on our peace of mind, on our confidence, all these ways that the external world has to line up before we can feel good inside ourselves. And that's how we come to think. And as I just said, it's a pretty big ask, and it is going to trigger a lot of anxiety. How can we make all of that happen? And so in this program, instead of looking at the outside world and how it needs to change so we can feel better, we're going to be exploring our inner world and changing our inner world. And there are two immediate benefits from that. If we can find happiness and peace without waiting until everything's lined up externally, we can really take a shortcut. We don't have to wait. We can have the peace and the happiness and the love and whatever straight up. And so we really can take a shortcut. And the other benefit is we're in control in a way that's much easier to be in control than when we're trying to control our external world. And so, for example, if we're unhappy because of our job, we can explore, okay, what is it in this situation that is triggering this unhappiness? And how can I free myself of this unhappiness? And so often, when we change on the inside, so that's the third benefit, when we change on the inside, our external world changes. And I have seen this happen so many times with people, and I've done it myself so many times. When we change our attitudes, our perspectives, especially when we shift the emotions that are associated, because emotions are a bit like magnets. If we've got a lot of anger, for example, we're going to magnetize more anger. Not as a punishment or a blame. It's the universe's way of saying, hey, I'm going to put you in an angry situation so that you can resolve some of the anger that you have inside yourself. This is going to bring the anger inside you to the surface so that you can address it and resolve it. Or likewise, anxiety or shame. And so instead of being a victim of not feeling good, we can be a master or a mistress, and we can seek the opportunities in it and grow as a consequence. And we'll be exploring this more in the program. But tonight I'm just wanting to sow those seeds of, we don't have to wait to feel good until everything's lined up in our life. We can actually seek day by day, how can I feel good today? Or what am I feeling today? And be with the richness of what I'm feeling today and allow that to move through me rather than waiting for circumstances to line up before I can feel good. And so as we grow and change on the inside, so our life will grow and change on the outside. For example, as we start to value ourselves more, we are going to attract more that is of value into our lives. While ever we feel unworthy or undeserving, then life is more likely to bring more of that to us. And just opening the doors to the possibility that it can be different can make all the difference. And I'm not saying it's entirely up to us to change our life on the outside by changing it on the inside. We can never control what's going to happen on the outside, and we'll do our heads in if we try to. But if we're feeling better on the inside, whether change has happened on the outside or not, we're still winners. Because we're feeling better on the inside. Okay, so I'd just like to take a pause there and just check in and see if there are any questions or comments. And also you can text me if you would like. Remember, you'll probably meet, there's one or two people who haven't muted themselves. But the rest of you will need to press star 6 to unmute if you want to ask or contribute. Okay, so it seems not. So next I want to talk for a little bit longer, and then we're going to do some clearing. I want some healing to be a part of these calls. So we often have resistance to self-care, and some of the resistances, and as I'm talking, you might like to just tune in and think about what your resistances are. We've just had a text. Thank you, from someone saying, I love that being authentic can bring peace and self-care and acknowledgement. Absolutely. And in one of the calls, we're going to have a bit of a look at people's life path numbers, just because that can be, which is part of numerology, can just really help to tune into who am I really and what am I really here for, which is part of being authentic. There's lots of ways, but that's a fun way. So thank you for that, my dear. So why not self-care? One that comes up time and again is it feels selfish. If I make it about me, then I'm being selfish. And yet if we're putting a lot of focus into other people, making other people more important than ourselves, you know, that can only last so long. It inevitably builds resentment. I'm missing out. Look at what I'm doing for you, and nobody's doing it for me. And of course, if we do something for someone else, expecting that they'll do it back for us, that might happen, but it might not too. And we don't actually have the right to put expectations on anyone else. After all, we don't like it when we realise someone is expecting us to do something. It's one thing when we freely choose, but when we feel obliged or pressured or expected, we don't like it very much. So, so when we take care of ourselves, we're really setting the example for others to take care of themselves. We're replenishing our tanks, topping up our emotional tanks, topping up our physical well-being tanks. And how much more effective can we be out in the world when we feel fulfilled and satisfied and content than when we feel drained and empty and put upon. And what can happen if we do get caught in the trap of giving and giving and giving to others, then usually something happens eventually and we erupt. All that resentment that's been building and building erupts out in a fairly volcanic way. And the other person gets to say, you know, look at you being so angry, and we feel bad because we've got so angry. And so we shut it all down again, and any point that we were trying to make gets totally lost. We lose our credibility and we go back to the simmering resentment again of all I do for you. And even when we have small children, and I well remember how incredibly demanding they are, but it's that much more important to find ways to take care of yourself so that the lack of self-care doesn't get projected onto the children, so that you can be the best parent for them that you want to be, because you keep replenishing your own tanks. So you've got something to top theirs up. We could have a really big fear of the reactions of others. Oh, I've got text here. Let me just stop. Yes. The previous person says emotional burnout for being a permanent giver by choice. It's really bad for us. I mean, you imagine if you've got an empty bank account and you keep writing checks on it. It doesn't work. And someone else says, what actually happens through putting others first constantly is we get lost in the process of who we actually are. Yes. Those really close to us, family, suffer. We erupt. We erupt onto them. Yeah. If you want to read about this, there's a fabulous book written a long time ago called The Dance of Anger, and it talks about a trap that we women especially get caught in, because we often, it might be better now, but we used to get taught little girls don't get angry, and so they learn to bottle it up, and then out it comes. This person says, I have learned how important self-care is, and I now do not feel selfish. I feel those close to me benefit from me looking after me. Yay! Thank you for that. Thank you both for contributing. Oh, and I just looked at the time. Okay, moving on. Fear of the reactions of others, and this is where we need to get clear about setting boundaries. And the thing is that when we feel good in ourselves, when we make peace with and really embrace, yes, I have the right to take care of myself. After all, it's no one else's job. I'm the only person who is responsible for taking care of me. When we feel really in alignment with that, others often sense that and we don't get any feedback or hit back from them. So it's getting to that point of knowing your worth and value so that you do feel comfortable with it. A feeling of I'm not good enough, I don't deserve to take care of myself, and that's part of what needs to be healed and embraced to assist with that process. It can feel alien. You know, if you've lived a lifetime, brought up in a family, especially if you brought up the oldest child, but it can also happen to the youngest who learns to take care of others so they get noticed. It can really feel weird at first. I can remember when I began my own spiritual journey, it was about 30 years ago, and I went to a dream, analysing your dream workshop, and it was an evening a week for 6 weeks, and I had so much trouble being there because I could just keep hearing my mother in my ear, get over yourself, stop taking yourself so seriously. You've got things to do. You're all right. And that voice can be so loud. And yet, you know, stop taking yourself so seriously. I'm actually seriously more important in my life than anyone else, really. If I don't take care of myself, I won't be here. So that sort of thing is something that we can definitely encounter, and I had to do a lot of work on that one. Not knowing how to take care of ourselves, and this is where I'm hoping in the Facebook group that you might post some ways that you really do enjoy taking care of you. Afraid that it's bad or wrong to take care of yourself. If we've got deep trauma, trauma can make us look out into the world for danger. It creates that hypervigilance. And we can be traumatized without realizing it by things that have happened in our childhood or later on in life. And it creates, I know I'm speaking from experience here, it creates a sense of I've got to be monitoring the world around me all the time to watch out for that saber-toothed tiger. And if I go within, I'm taking my eye off the potential danger. And so that can require doing some trauma healing as well as the going within to make it more comfortable and safe. So they're just some of the things that have occurred to me. And again, here we have another text. Just get on with it is so unhelpful. And it suggests that that we could get on with it, but we're not. I mean, let's face it. Most of us want to live our life fully. We don't want to be held down by anxiety or guilt or shame or anything else. It's not a choice we make. And if we do force ourselves to get on with it, we're stuffing down emotions that are going to erupt when we don't want them to. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a minute or two to just jot down what might be your resistances to taking yourself seriously and making self-care a priority in your life, even though your life might already seem very busy. Because in a moment, I want to do is some clearing around this. And if you've just tuned in and made it a little bit personal for yourself, that will help the clearing to be deeper and more powerful. And if anyone would like to unmute themselves and comment, please do. Someone's texted me. Oh my God, I have resistance to looking at what my resistances are. Maybe there aren't any. So go gently with yourself. Go gently with that part of you that is afraid of looking at yourself honestly. And this is where, when we do this inner exploration, it is so important to be really kind and gentle with ourselves. The part of us that is frightened or frustrated or sad or embarrassed, that's our wounded part. That's our inner child, and she needs kindness and compassion. She doesn't need judgment and criticism. And so it's really important when we start going within that it's not to look for what's wrong with us so we can beat ourselves up, but to embrace all aspects of our being, the parts that we like and the parts that we're not so comfortable with. Our shadow self is another term for it, Jungian term. We all have a shadow self. Everyone. No one gets to be in a human body without having aspects of themselves that they're not entirely comfortable with. And so if you have already jotted down some ideas from the, as a result of the email I sent out yesterday, that gives you, you can just look back over those and you might want to tweak them. Okay, so what we're going to do now is just a little clearing to see if we can just start to release some of those resistances. Because the more that we can release those, the easier it will be to embrace the self-care. At the same time, you may need to explore those resistances a bit more if they don't go easily. How might I have learnt that it's selfish? Do I really need to keep believing that? What emotions might I need to clear so that it's easier? Oh, well done. She's now, the person who was afraid of finding resistances has now found three. Good job. Okay, so let's do some clearing. I'm going to use a technique called ask and receive. Some of you that don't know me won't be familiar with this. It's based on the principle that there's a part of us that's a higher state of consciousness that has a broader perspective on our life, and it's not, we don't easily access that higher state. It's sort of like the flip side of the subconscious. And this technique asks that higher, wiser part to communicate with the rest of us and bring healing. So, just repeating after me, there's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release all and any resistances that I have to taking care of myself. All stories, all emotions, all experiences that might stop me being kind to myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And I'm just going to repeat that one again. There's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release all and any resistance to taking good care of myself. What that resistance represents, all of its roots, and its point of entry. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. Just giving that a moment to clear away some of that resistance. I'm just going to do another round, one that I think is probably a favourite. There's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release clear and dissolve the belief that I don't deserve or I'm not worthy of taking care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. I'm just going to do one more. There's a part of my being that already knows how to clear and release the belief that I don't know how to take care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. Okay, just tune into your body, notice how your body feels. You might find that it feels a bit different, or you might not notice any difference, and that's fine. Even that process is so powerful. Whether you can feel it or not, I believe it always makes a difference on an energetic level. Okay, so next what I'd like to do is a meditation, and I'm going to give you a meditation or something like that to do each week. And this is one that some of you who've listened to me before will be familiar with. It's a meditation, and I'm sorry, I'm going over time. And you can probably expect that each week. This is a meditation. Something that I have learned makes a huge difference for me when I'm wanting to tune into myself is sitting on the floor. And in fact, with all my counselling calls, the ones that are by phone, I'm sitting on the floor. Somehow it grounds me. It helps me to just feel more connected, and it helps me to go into a deeper place. So, it doesn't have to be sitting in the lotus position with cushions and crystals and candles. That's certainly not what I do. I just sit on the floor with my back against the couch. But just experiment. Just, take notice. If you're a bit of an earth person, that might work for you too. So I'm going to record this meditation separately so that you'll be able to listen to it again without having to find it in the call. I've just got a text saying thank you, Annie, quite emotional tonight, but surprising. Beautifully gentle and excited to be working with you on my self-care and self-love. Excellent. That's great. So just getting yourself ready for this little meditation, and I'm going to, as I say, record it separately. Okay. So just starting by focusing on something in the room, a mark on the wall or a picture, a lamp, anything. Just really focusing on it. And then retaining the image, I want you to gently close your eyes so you can still... Whoops, I haven't started the recording. I'm going to start again. Sorry, people. So focusing on something in the room, a mark on the wall, a picture hook, a lamp, cushion. And you get a really clear image of it, really focused. And then while retaining that image, gently closing your eyes. And being aware of breathing into your body. Breathing right down into your tummy. Letting your energy drop right down into your body as though you're coming home to yourself. be aware of how your body is being supported by whatever you're sitting on. Your feet supported by the floor. Feel the clothes against your skin. And just letting everything from the external world go. Feeling the gentle beat of your heart. Coming back again to your breath. And as you inhale, feeling your lower abdomen, your belly expanding. And as you exhale, feeling it relax. Inhale, expanding, exhaling, relaxing. So you're coming home to your body, and you might like to imagine that there's a comfy couch inside your body, in your belly or in your heart, whatever feels right for you, and you're just snuggling down inside that. This is a safe place to come home to. Coming home to your body, letting go of what's going on around you, and simply sitting inside yourself, noticing how your body is feeling. Noticing how you feel, relaxing into yourself. This is your safe place. This is where you meet you, all aspects of your being can meet you here. When your thoughts or feelings arise, just come back to noticing what it's like sitting in your body and breathing into your body. You can start to slowly come back out. Noticing how you're feeling. And if you had any little aha moments, you might like to write them down. It's amazing how something can seem very real at the time and then just go. And now, just a couple more things that I'd like to do. One is just thinking about why you want to do self-care. And I'll just give you 1 minute to jot down what benefits you can see for yourself. And if you did the preparation, it's reading back over that preparation now. Okay, so again we're going to use ask and receive to start bringing this in. Actually, what I might do is just quickly to help you get in the zone, read through the list of some of the benefits that I can see in it. Being your own best friend, much more reliable than other best friends might be sometimes. Being kind and loving and supportive of yourself, giving yourself that love and support that you desire. Feeling more self-sufficient, more resourceful, free to be authentic, greater happiness and calmness and contentment, more ease in decision making, clear connection with your intuition, able to set clear boundaries, better able to trust yourself and trust in the process of life, start to really feel good about yourself, better able to manage time, feeling more fulfilled in your life. Okay, so again, ask and receive, repeating after me. There's a part of my being that already knows that it is safe for me to take care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. There's a part of my being that already knows that it is possible for me to take good care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. Just giving it a moment to land. There's a part of my being that already knows that I am worthy and deserving of taking good care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. There's a part of my being that already knows that life, the universe, spirit, the divine, wants me to take good care of myself. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. Just taking a deep breath or two and coming back. So what I've done is I recorded that and I recorded the meditation, and I recorded the clearing resistance separately. So if you're listening to the whole call, you'll come to them, but you can, there'll be separate links for you to select each individually. And so what I'd like to suggest between now and next week, A, please join the Facebook group if you would like to and post on there what you're hoping to get out of the program, what you're hoping self-care will do for you, your resistances to self-care, anything like that that you'd like to put there. And I'd like to encourage you to listen once a day or more if you want, but to listen once a day to that recording we just did then about embracing self-care. If you feel your resistance is very strong, you might want to listen to the resistance one as well. Listen to it first and then this one that we just did now. So listening to those, listening to or doing your own version of that meditation, coming home to your body, coming to sit inside your body, and doing one thing each day that is caring, that you wouldn't normally do. It might be putting some nice hand cream on your hands. It might be calling a friend for a chat. It might be saying no to someone that you usually say yes to. It might be going for a walk. It might be stopping and listening to the birds in the trees for 5 minutes. It might be going for a quick jog. Whatever feels caring for you, not something you should do, but something that feels like a kindness to yourself and that you'll feel good about having done it afterwards. So what I'm suggesting is listening to the ask and receive each day. Doing one thing each day that is caring. And it can be something very simple that only takes a minute. And listening to the meditation. If that's too much, then that's fine. That's my suggestions. And I'd love it if people join the Facebook group and that becomes an active community. And if that's not something that you want to do, I totally understand. So before we finish, any comments anyone would like to make, either by unmuting or by texting me, any questions, I'd be very happy to hear from you before we finish up. No. Okay, all right. I'm going to... Oh, here we are. Here's something. Oh, someone says, a great foundation tonight. Thank you. That's excellent. Cool. Remember to email me if you've got any questions that you'd like me to explore in the next call. You can probably assume these calls are going to go for an hour and a half, but there's no guarantees. Someone else comments, thank you. Where's it gone? Thanks, Annie. Nice meditation and enjoyed the call. That's great. I'm just going to see if I can do a mass unmute of you all so we can say goodbye. Oh, I have. You're all unmuted. Okay, so have a lovely week, people. Thank you so much for joining me. And bye for now. And the unmuting doesn't seem to have worked. Never mind. Have a great week, people. Bye.